Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician, Danny Whitson. I hope my abracadamits are doing good. Like always, I always try to put some positive energy out there in the universe because God knows the universe needs it. So anytime you can share something positive on social media, put it out there because we all need it, or in any platform that you have, put it out there because everybody needs it. We need to hear it. I've been real busy here lately, which is great. A lot of shows, people are coming out, thank God, and looks like they're ready to get back to life. I know I am, and it has been fun. So big shout out to all you people who are coming out and doing things and coming to see the shows. You guys are amazing. I love you guys. Speaking of which, here's a show date, May 14th, next Friday. I'm going to be at the Mirage in downtown Knoxville. It's going to be a double feature. It's going to be me and Alex Stokes. And tickets are only $10. You can purchase them on eventbrite.com or you can purchase them at the door. So it's going to be at the Mirage. It's a double feature comedy show with me and Alex Stokes, May 14th, Friday. Come out and see the show because we're going to bring the funny. I promise it's going to be a good time. Speaking of good times, everybody likes to get their little drink on every now and then. You may not be a heavy drinker. Maybe I'm a social drinker. I am. And I tell you, there's no better place to go get your whiskey, bourbon, scotch, whatever it is you're looking for than at Liz's Wine and Spirits. Yes, Liz's Wine and Spirits. Right now, guys, they have a special going on too. And I don't know how long this will last. But right now they have a high-proof bottled Imbam bourbon. Some Henry McKenna. Yes. Named after the Irish immigrant who adopted his family's whiskey recipe with the grains he found in Kentucky. Now this is one of the longest age whiskeys available today. And this is just one of the type of products that you will find at Liz's Wine and Spirits. So definitely, if you want to get your drink on and you're anywhere in the Knox County, Anderson County, or Roane County area, be sure to check out Liz's Wine and Spirits. Give them a like on Facebook or give them a call at 865-483-5080. Ask owner Aaron Wells if they have the type of whiskey you're looking for, or bourbon, or whatever it is you drink. And if they don't have it, he will get it. So definitely check out Liz's Wine and Spirits located at 1505 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This episode is also brought to you by Will's Towing, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Now guys, no one likes to be broke down on the side of the road. It's awful. It sucks. But don't panic. If this does ever happen, give Will Roberts a call at 865-272-5300 and let Will Roberts take care of your towing needs. Will will come pick it up and he will park that car anywhere you need him to park it. If you want that car set in your living room, Will will put it in your living room. Also, we've all seen those tow truck drivers that show up and they look kind of sketch. You know, like they may have been touching a possum before they came up to you. You know what I mean? One of those guys. You never have to worry about that at Will's Towing. Everybody who works at Will's Towing is clean, safe, and very friendly to deal with. So if your car breaks down, you need a towing service at all, give Will Roberts a call at Will's Towing. That's 865-272-5300. All right, abracadamits. Better get them dukes up. Get your doofers up, yeah, because this episode, we got a fighter on. Yes, we have a professional boxer, which I'm super excited because I love boxing. I do, and it's not every day that you get to talk to a professional boxer. It is not. So this was super, super cool. I really enjoyed this conversation. I will say this. There was one little bit when we did this interview. It was right before the Jake Paul fight, and we all know that idiot won his fight. You know, Ben came out there looking like a boiled egg, so I don't know if it was fixed or what. I don't know. But anyways, this interview was fun. It was a great time. Very interesting talking with her. I'm a big fan now, so I can't wait to follow her through her professional career. So if you will, abracadamits, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with professional boxer Ashley Cincinnati.
All right, I'm excited. We got Ashley Cincinnati here today. How you doing, Ashley?
I'm great. How about you, Danny? How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Now, I haven't had any boxing matches, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I tell you what, if you don't care, like, you know, I know who you are, and I know, you know, people around the boxing area there in South Carolina, they know who Miss Ashley is, but do you care to let the listeners know who you are?
Sure. Well, I'm Ashley Cincinnati. I'm a professional boxer in the Charlotte, North Carolina area.
That's awesome. Now, I may have said South Carolina. Did I say South Carolina?
That's okay. Okay.
You know, North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, same thing. Right? I don't know. People, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But first of all, I love boxing. I'm a big boxing fan. I am. And so I'm so excited to have a professional boxer on the podcast. Now, if you don't mind, could you, because I remember talking to you before, you kind of had told some things, but kind of give some refreshers about how did you get into boxing? What got you interested into this?
So when I moved to North Carolina, I moved from New Jersey. I used to be a professional cheerleader. Best shape of my life. I know. Tumbler, you know, acrobat, getting thrown up in the air, all those fun things. And I moved down here and I was looking for just kind of something to fill that void. I missed, you know, I was in the best shape of my life and I loved it. I love that feeling. Athlete my whole life. So I actually went to a cardio kickboxing class, which was kind of the trending thing. Took that. The owner of the gym came over to me and was like, you know, your punches actually look like real punches. Do you want to give my Muay Thai class a try? So kind of kickboxing. So I took that for a little bit, about, you know, a couple months. And he kind of said to me, well, let's take a boxing class to get your hands a little better. Because, you know, I was a soccer player also, you know, strong legs. The kicks were great. Hands could use a little bit of work. So I took the boxing class, and after the first class, I was just hooked. I completely switched over and just never looked back, and married to the sport ever since.
That is so, so cool. And what a big jump from like cheerleader to boxer. I mean, now I know you have to have good cardio and be in good shape, you know, to be a cheerleader. But I mean, most people are intimidated about getting punched. You know, so is this something that you didn't bother you at all, huh?
Didn't bother me. Like I said, athlete my whole life. I did play, you know, softball, soccer, and soccer is a pretty rough sport. You know, especially I played at the college level for about a year. So pretty intense, but also cheerleading, you know, getting thrown up in the air. I've been, you know, hate to say it, but I've been dropped several times. You know, you collide, bump heads, concussions, everything. So getting punched in the face, you know, no one wants to get punched in the face, but it wasn't something that intimidated me.
You know, that's interesting. I had just had a conversation about soccer, and I was under the impression, because I never played soccer, but I was under the impression that soccer wasn't as a brutal sport. But it turns out people get concussions and stuff in soccer.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Now, you're a professional now, and you just recently became pro.
Yeah.
How many amateur fights did you have?
So I've had 16 amateur fights. So 11-5, fought at the local level, national level, Golden Gloves, went to the Olympic trials, and then COVID hit. Fine though. And then, you know, kind of when that happened is when the discussion between me and my coach and my team, and we decided that it was just time to turn pro. So last year, we turned pro, and, September 26th, 2020 was my first professional fight.
That is so, so cool. Now, with the amateur fights, how many rounds do they go? Is it three rounds?
Yes, so it's three rounds. There is kind of subdivision. So there's like a novice, open, and elite division. I fought my first amateur fight as it was supposed to be novice, but they let us go open, which is anyone that has over 10 fights. I didn't have 10 fights, clearly, but it's okay. Well, I was ready for it. But they fight 3 2-minute rounds, but then the Olympic trials and elite class is 3 3-minute rounds.
Hey, I've done those. 3-minute rounds. And, you know, I, as a kid, I did Golden Gloves, and I remember it wearing me out then, you know. So people don't understand how long 3 minutes is.
3 minutes is a long time.
It is a very long time. Now, so let me ask you about that first fight. Okay, so you've been training, you're ready, you're getting in the ring to do your first fight. Were you nervous? How did you deal with that?
Well, my first fight in general is a funny story behind it. I was at a gym I'm not currently at anymore, and the trainer didn't want to take me to fights. So I kind of took it upon myself, and I reached out to a gym up in New York, and I was like, you know what? I want to fight. I had a friend up in New Jersey that was a boxer, and I asked him, I said, can I borrow your coaches this weekend? And I just went up there, and I think I was definitely nervous, but I think the excitement and just the fact that I had to be the one to kind of, you know, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. So the nerves kind of went out the window. But I will say, after that first round, that was the most tired I've ever been in my life. Just the adrenaline dump too. It was exciting though. Very exciting. And I had, you know, I'm from New Jersey, so I was able to have my friends actually come to the fight too, and my family. So it was nice to have that support. Definitely different than, you know, my friends coming to a cheer competition. but yeah, it was exciting. It was exciting.
So that is just so, I mean, I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that in order to be good at something, you just can't practice. You got to be obsessed with it, you know?
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So there was something there apparently with you in boxing that, because, I mean, you're willing to, like, hey, I don't care. I'm going to go up here and do what I got to do. I know that feeling, you know? I mean, I've went to some pretty crazy places, you know, so you know, for magic and comedy, you know what I mean? It's like, I got it, I don't care. So I understand that. And you said you were, your amateur record's 11-5?
Yes.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. It's not bad. I wish it was better, but I'm happy for that experience for sure. And you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, losses suck and they feel really bad, but at the same time, you know, every loss that I took, the next fight, I was just that much better. And, you know, I went home, watched the tapes and saw what I did wrong. You know, and of course there was a couple bad calls made, but I'm not, no excuses. I still take that loss. And I'm glad that I did have those losses. It only made me better.
You know, I was just thinking, and I swear I was just thinking this today about losing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you keep up with college basketball, but you saw Gonzaga lost to Baylor, and Gonzaga was undefeated all the way up to the big game. Didn't they?
Right. Yeah.
I think there's a disadvantage to not losing sometimes, and I mean, because there is things like you do learn by losing. Like in comedy, it's bombing, you know. If you have a bad show and you bomb, and if you're any good, you take what you learned from that experience and you fix it. But hell, even Muhammad Ali lost, you know.
Right.
So I think it can only make you a better boxer, a better fighter. So 11-5 though. That's now, how long were you an amateur? How long did it take you to get that many fights?
I only was fighting about 3 years. Those 3 years is when I had all those fights. Honestly, it should have been a few more fights. But you know, some competitions we went to, there was just no females in my weight class. And you know, that's just part of the game, you know? So, but yeah, about three years.
Now, as far as like with the females, because it being female boxing now, and it is starting to get more popular, but I guess that is an issue too sometimes, that there's not enough females in your weight class.
Right. you know, I fight at, you know, that flyweight weight class. I have fought at bantamweight, which is up a little bit, about 122, 125. But, you know, I'm most comfortable at about 112. But, you know, it is really hard to find females in that weight class, especially, you know, my age. I'm not a, you know, young spring chicken. You know, of course, you do have these young females that are up and coming, and it's great, and I love seeing that. But they're also under 18, so I can't fight them. So, but, you know, and I love it, though. I love seeing these females. And, you know, it's funny, actually, tonight I had training, and, you know, I was fighting with, we have our kids program at my gym. And it's just funny because I'm like, you know, they're my size, but they're that much younger. But it's I just love seeing just more females being involved. It's great.
I think that is awesome. I have became, I mean, I've always been a fan of boxing. I have, to me, I think, in my opinion, I think, you know, probably the two biggest, the two biggest self-defense things that a person could learn, the most important to me would be boxing and then jiu-jitsu. And, you know, like a lot of fights do go to the ground, so jiu-jitsu is going to come in handy. But this is the thing about boxing. Boxing's going to prevent you from ever going to the ground. It's going to prevent you, you know, you do not want a regular normal person does not want to have a confrontation with a professional boxer.
No.
you don't want to do it, dude. I don't care who they are. I'm telling you, you do not want to do that. And so many people, I don't think they really understand that. They, you know, but I was thinking, and just like a lot of times whenever I think this, I'm a big believer in this, like, you know, right now they're trying to do all these, I guess it's kind of like a novelty fights. I don't know if you've heard this Jake Paul crap.
Yeah.
And asking, I'm not a big Jake. Okay, this is my thing. I'm not a Jake Paul fan, Ashley. I'm not a Jake Paul fan. But they say the guy has hands. What do you think? Do you think? I mean, he beat up a basketball player. I think if you are, why don't you fight a boxer, bro? If you're a boxer, why don't you fight a boxer? You know?
Right. That's the big thing right there is if you look at any type of, you know, fight and the matchup and who they're fighting, what they're fighting, you know, if that's like compare, it's apples to oranges. You can't really say he's got hands because he wasn't fighting a fighter.
Exactly.
You know? So it's.
And have you heard how much shit that dude talks? That dude talks more shit. Oh my gosh, dude. It's like. So much. Super amount of shit. And I mean, I get what he's doing. He's trying to sell the fight. I totally get
of
it.
Of course.
And he's almost sold it to me because I'm almost like, man, I hate you, dude.
Right.
Take my money so I can see you die, okay? But but the problem is with an MMA guy, this is what I've always seen with MMA fighters, and it drives me crazy. It was what was pounded in my head when I was a kid is like, you know, you protect yourself at all times, and these MMA guys will come in like this, like, hit me, bro, you know?
Right.
And I'm right. Like, dude, you do that to a boxer. Come on, man. You know?
Right.
So that's the only thing I'm afraid of. I would love to see Jake Paul get beat, but I'm afraid, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, and apparently the fighter he's fighting, he's even said on record, he's not a striker. He's not a striker. So, you know, of course he might come in all, you know, hands up and just face right there, but he doesn't have anything else to rely on. Like there's no takedowns. So yeah, I'd be interested, you know, it's like, it's a train wreck. It's hard to not watch.
I don't know. You know, I even heard a rumor because, I mean, you know, Jake Paul was talking so much mad shit. I think at the end of Canelo's fight, somebody showed up to the press conference, the post conference, and they had a Jake Paul shirt on, and Canelo was like, get the hell out of here. Well, his translator was like, get the hell out of here. You know?
Right.
You know, that don't bring that garbage around me. You know, Canelo, in my opinion, is the best pound for pound fighter right now.
Agreed. So agreed.
And I think, didn't you mention you were a oh my gosh, Lomachenko fan?
Yes. Yes, I am a huge Lomachenko fan. Just watching him, he's just got such great work ethic. He's athletic, which, you know, is definitely an advantage, of course, but I like that he doesn't rely on that. You know, he still works when he's got to work. He's got amazing angles. You know, when they call him, you know, the Matrix, I mean, he just flips things that, and he does it so gracefully, and it's just beautiful. Like, that is the science right there. It's just beautiful.
That sweet science.
Yes. Yep.
Now, didn't he, I think didn't his dad like put him in like dance lessons or something for his, I mean, how brilliant he is takes, that for your footwork?
Mm-hmm, everything. He does everything from juggling to gymnastics to dance lessons to, I mean, just watching him train is just so impressive because he's not, you know, usually you're a jack of all trades and a master of none. I feel like he possibly could be a master of all trades, and he is just so, you know, just naturally athletic, and everything is just so, it just graceful. I don't know any other word to use.
So, well, let me ask you this, because like I said, before you got into boxing, you had a background in cheerleading, and do you think maybe that has helped you in your fights as far as maybe your footwork and movements and stuff like that?
I absolutely do. I think the most that has helped me with gymnastics, believe it or not, or cheering, tumbling, is the body awareness. So, you know, in the gym, of course, like you work on things, and it usually takes me a little bit quicker to kind of catch on to things. You know, trying not to sound so conceited in that way, but, you know, just the movement, you know, the movement, I understand it a little bit quicker. And I think, you know, footwork, I think soccer has helped me with that.
Oh, yeah.
So I really do feel like I, you know, going into this already having an advantage has helped for sure. You know, of course there's some things that with gymnastics and tumbling, sometimes I try to be too much of a perfectionist. So there is a downfall to that. But you know, it's definitely helped.
Well, I mean, you're always your toughest critic. So, but I mean, I could definitely see how soccer and gymnastics and body awareness, that's an interesting term. I hadn't even really thought about that, but is that something they kind of teach you in boxing, or your trainers talking about body awareness?
Not necessarily. It's not really you're taught, but just, you know, with gymnastics, you do have to be fully body aware, you know, whether your toes are pointed, your legs are straight, they're apart, they're together, different movements. You're just more aware of what muscles you're using and how to move your body. And I really feel like, you know, translating that into boxing, you want to have, you know, strong punches, of course, but the more accurate you throw them and correct you throw them, the harder it's going to be. And just the snappier the punches and the movement is a lot easier. And especially with, you know, your defense work, you know, I see a punch coming. I know, you know, kind of which way I need to move. And I just get it a little bit quicker because of that body awareness, in my opinion.
Now, whenever you're like watching boxing on television now, and now that you are a boxer, it sounds like you can still watch boxing. I'll be honest with you, Ashley. I can't watch stand-up comedy, and I can't watch magic specials. I just, for one, I mean, there's this one thing to where you don't want to watch something because you don't want it to pollute your creativity or your thoughts. You'd be like, hey.
Right.
But another, sometimes I'm just so... you know, like this isn't, does that ever get with boxing, or do you watch it still with the kind of the way you had from the beginning?
You know, I definitely watch it a little bit different now. You know, in the beginning, kind of when I was just in that amateur phase and getting into it and kind of just fell in love with it, I was watching it more as like, oh, that hit was so good. It was so hard. But now I watch it and I'm like, wow, like, okay, like he moved this way, but then he came back. Like I look at the different fighters I'm watching and just kind of look at their style and think to myself, would I be able to do that? So, I mean, I completely understand the whole, you don't want to watch it and, you know, it ruin your creativity, but for me, at least when I watch it, it kind of helps. And it opens up like my perspective to, oh, wow, I can, you know, get away with this combination or throwing a certain punch. Wow. Okay. He leaned his body this way and missed it. Like, let me try that and see if it works for me.
That's cool. And now, okay. So let me ask you about, you know, okay. Is there one fight particular in your amateur fights that you think that maybe you took something that, that maybe you gained the most out of, a win or a loss? Or is there one that stands out to you?
Absolutely. It was actually my last amateur fight that I ever had. You know, I lost. And, you know, I had never been hit flush with a good, strong punch. And it was that fight that I actually felt this power. And I was like, okay. And, you know, like I got dropped and my legs kind of fell out from underneath me. And I was like, you know what? And I got up, you know, had the 8 count. And in my mind, I was like, okay, what are you going to do now? You know, and it kind of taught me, you know, like stay poised in a sense, you know, don't fight angry. Like that's something that, you know, my coach is very big on. You want to fight mean, but not mad. And just all of a sudden that kicked in. And you can even see the rest of the round, I was just very relaxed and, you know, a little bit more aware of, you know, what I should be looking for. And, you know, it sounds silly, but it definitely, I was very happy that I was dropped. you know, and it just taught me like, it's okay. You know, like you have to be humble enough to accept that you're not always going to be the best one. You may not have a good night. It just may not be your day, but you can't let that affect you, you know? So,
I mean, I can only imagine because how many fighters could go wrong there. You know, they could go into a panic mode or they could get angry, you know, when mm-hmm. they get dropped and then they don't think clearly. But you said that you made sure it didn't make you angry. You just kind of was more focused.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
That has to be also interesting too, is that now what round was that? Was that in the later round?
First round. And you know, she came out fast and hard and you know, she was a little bit longer and we didn't really know anything about her, which, you know, no excuse and that's fine. I'm not scared to step up, you know? And she came out fast and hard. And I was just kind of, you know, my first rounds are usually slow anyway. I kind of feel out the fighter. And, you know, I'm more of a more strategy than I am just going for the knockout. You know, and so after that, you know, got dropped within the first, you know, minute. And I was like, all right, like this is kind of the make it or break it in the sense of like, you know, your mental headspace and where you're at. So, yeah.
See, I think those are things that you need to learn in the amateur fights, you know.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you need to learn. And that way, you know, whenever you're faced with that situation again, or if you ever are, you know, mm-hmm. you've been there. You've done that. I can't imagine what that's like is because, I mean, it's easy to probably underestimate, you know, a punching power. And sometimes you can't look at people and tell.
No. No. I mean, she was my size and I was like, okay, like, you know, like punches are punches. They're going to hurt no matter how soft they are. But yeah, no. And looking at her, she was very nice. You know, we tapped gloves in the beginning, you know, weigh-ins was very, you know, good. And and she just turned it on when she got in the ring and I was like, okay, like this is that it was to me. I really appreciate that. You can never judge a book by its cover.
No, you cannot. What, now, did you get any KOs or anything in the amateur fights?
So I've had TKOs where it's been stopped. You know, and there was a couple fights where, you know, my opponent's noses were bleeding and they couldn't get it to stop and they you know, called it. There was a couple where they just weren't punching back and the ref stepped in and stopped it. So it's TKO in that sense. I consider myself more, and you know, now that I'm pro, you know, we're you know, there's a few things I'm working on and trying to kind of switch it up, but my style has always been more volume punching and movement. You know, and I think it works, and I think it's good to have a particular style, but I think it's also good to have a lot of tools in your, you know, arsenal. It's good to have. So, you know, good with power.
if you can switch it up and move around, you know, so you're more like an unorthodox, I guess, if I can get it out. I'm not even editing that out. I'm keeping that in. An unorthodox, I guess, fighter. But no, I mean, you kind of strike from every angle.
I try to.
I'm a fan of that. Normally I notice you'll see a lot of smaller fighters fight that way. You know, Manny Pacquiao fights that way. Sean yes. Porter fights mm-hmm. that way. And, I mean, they're extremely entertaining to watch, too, you know. So, and I mean, and they can give, you know, that pure boxer, the boxer, a handful. You know, it can be
right.
a big problem. You know, the one thing I remember, this sounds so gross. This is so gross, but you're a boxer. So
yeah, hit me with it.
You know, the one thing I remember from being a kid and doing Golden Gloves, which, I mean, I cherish the time because I was spending time with my uncle. He was a trainer. This is going to sound so gross, but I'll never forget that smell when the gloves came off.
And oh, even so
though,
gross. Yeah.
Even though it's gross, even though it's gross, but it's like, that's just, you know, brings me back. I just think, you know, my sweaty hands, you know. So, but it was, you know, just things like that I cherish now. You know, I look back and I think that's great. But I couldn't imagine if I would have stick with boxing because, you know, I'm short. So I would have, dude, I'd have to be in a rail to be able to fight that fighting weight. You know, I mean, that would be tough. That'd be very tough. But, I'll tell you this, now that you're a boxer, who are some of your favorite boxers, professional-wise?
You know, professional-wise. So, of course, you know, like I was saying before, Lomachenko, I love his style. You know, little disappointed in one of the last fights I watched of his, but, you know, I still respect him and I still love watching him. Canelo, for sure, I think. Watching him from the very beginning, and I've watched him from, you know, when he first turned pro and then, you know, when he fought Floyd Mayweather, and just watching his progression has been so inspirational because I'm like, I see it, you know, you see the improvement and it's just amazing. I also think, you know, right now I'm kind of starting to become, you know, an Amanda Serrano fan. You know, she kind of did both the boxing and the MMA, but she's mostly boxing now. And you know, she holds belt titles in like 6 different weight classes. And it's as a female, just watching her and, you know, I follow her on Instagram and just watching her, what she does and like, she puts in the work, you know, and this may sound really weird. A lot of female fighters now, you know, kind of put their ass out there before they're training. And you know, that's not me. I'm not about that. Respect to any of the female fighters that do, you know, that's your thing. You know, and of course, you know, now in society, it's hard to be a female anyway. You know, you have to be this beautiful thing, but then you have to be strong and tough, but you have to be sensitive. So I just really respect Amanda Serrano in that way, is that she, you know, and she said it herself, she has gotten to where she has gotten by being herself. You know, she hasn't changed. She hasn't conform to this, you know, I need to look a certain way or dress a certain way. And, you know, and she puts in the work and she gives back to her community. And I love that. Love that. And she represents her, you know, Puerto Rican heritage. And I just love it.
You know, I think, you know, that's something, once again, being a dude, I've never really thought about that for female yep. fighters, is there is like another, I guess, another type of pressure now that, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't associate a female fighter with this lady type image. You know what I'm saying? Not saying yep. you guys aren't, of course. I know you're a lady, Ashley. But I mean, you know, so that's got to be tough.
It's me personally, I've, you know, of course I have social media and, you know, I post and, you know, I look at like my friends, what they post, and I love that I can keep in contact, especially with being down here in North Carolina, family and friends still back up in New York and New Jersey. So it's great in that sense, you know, you can kind of keep up with everybody. But you know, you kind of get fall into that whole social media of do it for the gram and look a certain way, be a certain way, act a certain way. And it's, you know, it's hard, you know, and of course you want fans, and what do majority of boxing fans want to see? You know, of course an entertaining fight, but you know, they also want to see just, you know, a beautiful female. And
yeah,
so it's, you know, it's interesting. It's definitely a different added pressure. But you know, again, I take pride in not being one of those females that put myself out there like that. So,
well, I think, you know, like I said, you know, just focus on being, you know, the best at what you do, and, you know, all the other stuff, I mean, that's going to come natural to you. You know, you are who you are. So, have you ever dated anyone who was kind of intimidated with dating a professional fighter?
So I have this saying right now, you know, since I've kind of started the fight game, and it's, you know, boxing is bae. And, you know, it's the dating thing is very interesting as a boxer, as a female boxer, fighter. You know, I've had great past relationships. I've had a great, you know, past relationship when I was still kind of going through the amateurs, you know, super supportive, not necessarily intimidated. You know, he, you know, did his thing, did his grappling, jiu-jitsu, you know, kind of in that world. So he understood when, you know, fight time came and just certain things, you know, have to be sacrificed. You know, but there's definitely been guys that are, you know, say they're super supportive. They're like, oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay. And like, you know, and you start hanging out with them and then they're like, oh, so can you, you know, punch me as hard as you can. And it's like, you know, and then when fight time comes and, you know, I let them know like, hey, like there's certain things I need to sacrifice, and it's, you know, they get a little sensitive. Gotcha. So, you know, it's yeah, boxing is
bad. That's the God, that's such a dude thing, dumbass dude. Well, hit me as hard as you can. Yeah. Freaking dudes. The yeah. You know, what you know, that's when you just, you know, punch him in the balls because you're like, oh, you didn't say where, right?
Right.
You know, that's so
I'll have to remember that.
You know, I'm so glad, like, my wife Antoinette's not a comic or an entertainer. I've seen, you've got those couples in show business. Like, I know comedy couples, you know, and I think they kind of help each other. But also, she kind of knew what she was getting into from the get-go. So, it definitely worked out. But that, you know, there's something you got to wonder, because I wonder, like, there's probably some guys that may have some insecurities, you know, with that. And but then also on the flip side, there's probably something, you know, that interests dudes to you by, you know, being a fighter.
Yeah. yeah. Any guy that I've kind of started dating, you know, talking to, getting to know, you know, that's not the first thing I say. You know, I mean, I'm more than just a boxer, even though, you know, I'm all about boxing, and, you know, I have, like, you know, my mantle above my fireplace, nice boxing canvas right there. But, you know, it's not a secret. So as soon as they find out, that is all they want to talk about. And, you know, they're just so interested in everything about it. And they're like, you know, and it's kind of cool, you know, to be able to talk to them about it. But then it kind of gets to the, all right, let's, you know, kind of move on to the next topic.
You know, I've ran into the same thing. Like if I meet somebody new, or my friends, some of my friends, sometimes if they introduce me to their friends, they're like, hey, he's a magician, you know, and then that's all they want to talk about for the whole damn night, you know. And
it's show me a card trick.
Exactly. Oh yeah, magic boy, show us something. You know, so a lot of them, my close friends, I'm like, don't tell them, don't say anything, you know, just leave me. Because, I mean, it's not that I don't want to, but it's like, you know, you kind of want to be somewhere else because your mind is occupied so much with the other stuff. So, yeah, I totally see that. Okay, so, you know, this is something I think it started with Ronda Rousey. I think wasn't Ronda Rousey the first contact female fighter to like headline a big pay-per-view?
Yeah, she was. I think, you know, there's also Gina Carano, which came a little bit before her, I think, or around the same time. Not as big as Ronda Rousey, just, you know, just kind of with the major, you know, headliner or, you know, co-main event, main event. And I think also, you know, Ronda is just such a big personality. So, you know, you're going to hear about her more and she's going to represent herself more, I think. But yeah.
Either way, I think, you know, I think prior to that, maybe just as, you know, early as 10 years prior to that, no one could ever probably really imagine a female headlining a you know, a sport like that. And now it's in some cases, some of the female fights are more interesting than the male fights to me. And I think not just to me, but to the public, I think there's a big future in female contact sports. And, you know, and boxing is ever growing. It's, you know, it's coming back in America, you know, coming back. And then, of course, there's always the MMA. But like I said, I tend to lean towards more boxing these days because, you know, I mean, you're going to be lucky to get close enough to a boxer to get them on.
Right.
like I said, I was always taught protect yourself at all times and, you know, move. You can't hit a boxer. So that's, you know, but let's go here. This is interesting because to non-boxing folks, we've all seen the Rocky movies. We've all seen Rocky beat the hell out of a piece of meat, try to chase a chicken, you know. Are you comfortable talking about what was training like for your first fight? You got your first pro fight, so you had to do some pretty intense training, I'd imagine, correct?
Yeah. So getting ready for that first fight was interesting because it was during COVID. Obviously our gym had to shut down for a few months. And then when we finally started coming back, it was just, you know, kind of one-on-one training, which was great. You know, and not saying that I got out of shape. I'm always in shape, but it's different from fight shape, you know, like when you're just on point with everything, your mental, your physical, everything. So kind of just getting back into fight shape, you know, took some time. But also, as much as an individual sport as boxing is, it is a huge team sport. You know, if you don't have training buddies, you can't get your sparring in, you can't get your drill work in. You know, and of course my coach is amazing. You know, James Presley at Dime Boxing, amazing coach. I will not leave him, will not go anywhere else. Really good, you know, working what you need to get as a fighter. So yeah, we definitely stepped up training a little bit. Training was a little different. You know, like I said, my style was more, you know, I don't want to say pity patty, but a little bit more pity patty than, you know, when you go to the pros, it's got to be a little bit more power behind those punches. You know, you're not working for points per se.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I mean, it was just a little different, you know, we worked on, just different movements, you know, and based on who I was fighting too, that's also another thing in amateurs. You know, you can go to these tournaments, you're not going to know who you're fighting, what they're about. Are they southpaw? Are they orthodox? Are they, you know, are they longer than you? Do you have to get in? Are they a brawler? But with the pros, you know, I think that is a little bit of an advantage in a sense. You know, you kind of know what you're working with. So you kind of know when you're training, okay, I'm going to work on, you know, using my jab more, stepping around more, or am I going to kind of use more Mike Tyson style, you know, like trying to get in there just like, not brawl, but, you know, use those hooks a little bit more. So training was definitely a little bit more intense. And I did, you know, a little bit more, you know, two-a-days So I would train in the morning and train in the evening. So that was a little bit new, which I kind of liked.
Now, so. do you do a lot of running, like any type of, you know, long distance jogging? I guess you would call it long distance.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of cardio involved. I don't run every day. You know, I incorporate about 3 runs per week. So that would be anywhere from, you know, 2 of those runs would at least be 2 to 3 miles. I would have 1 long run. So, you know, 4 to 5 miles. And then I designate one day to sprint work or hill work, you know, whether it be stairs or just, you know, sprints. So, you know, you got to get that, you know, get that heart pumping, get that, you know, explosive. That's what you need to work on. So,
man.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do in the gym? Is the punching bags, the speed bag? What is your favorite? Shadow? They still do the shadow? What's it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the
speed bag.
Well, not the speed bag, but it's the thing that's on the 2 elastic things. And it's the
double end bag.
Yes.
The double end bag. Yeah. The double end bag would have to be my least favorite.
That was mine too.
Yeah. There's definitely kind of a rhythm, not that you want to get in a rhythm, but you know, the way the bag moves, and, it's good because it comes back at you. So, you know, it's not like the heavy bag where it's just kind of slow swinging if you hit it hard enough. You know, you hit this double end bag and it's coming right back at you. So it's good. You have to work on hit and don't get hit. You know, I like the speed bag. You know, I usually do it kind of as a cool down, and it's just like fun, you know, to work on, like, you know, different speed and rhythm. But my favorite thing is sparring. You know, I get to work on, you know, and when I spar, I don't work on trying to beat my training buddy. That's not my goal. My goal is working on what we've been working on and working on, you know, have I been working on the hook? Have I been working on certain combinations, certain footwork? And you know, a lot of times, like even tonight, you know, like I said, I had training and was sparring. You know, I got popped a few times, and you know, it's, you know, cause I'm working on new things, but you know, when you're in there sparring, you're not trying to kill the other person. And you know, and that's what I love about my gym too, is just that family kind of environment. You know, we're all there for each other. We're trying to make each other better, push each other. But you know, we're also not trying to give each other concussions.
Of course. And so, I mean, and I can only imagine that you build some really good relationships with people in your gym. Cause I mean, yeah, there's nothing like getting to know somebody whenever you're in there hitting each other. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, you know, I consider my training buddies, my family. You know, they're some of my great best friends here. Yeah. I mean, I would, you know, kind of do anything for them. You know, if they ask me, no questions asked, I got your back.
Well, let's do this, Ashley, because we're on the Abracadam podcast. So on the Abracadam podcast, we have to do a magic trick. Okay, we're gonna do some mind reading. You ready for this?
Okay.
All right, I tell you ready for these hands? These hands, you ready for these hands? Not this one. That's not my real hand. That's, there we go. That's, here we go. These hands right here. Yeah, I got tricks up my sleeve, Ashley.
quick hands,
yeah, seriously, this one, it comes flying. For you guys listening, it's a fake hand. You would never have thought in a million years, right? Here we go. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna do a card trick. I'm gonna have you think of a card. Okay.
All
right, are you ready?
Here we
I'm
go ready.
I'm gonna show you these cards. I just want you to think of one. Just think of
okay
one. Can you see them?
You I got see one? Them got one.
It's in your head. Don't forget it. If okay you forget it, I sound like an idiot. I'm going to put the cards in the deck, and I'm going to shuffle the cards. All right. Here we go. And now, I'm going to try to cut to a card. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to cut to the card you're thinking of, okay?
Okay.
That's what we're going to
all
do
right
here. I'm going to go for this. I don't know. I've cut the deck. I'm obligated, okay? I have cut the deck, Ashley. I have cut to one card.
Okay.
What was the card you were thinking of?
8 of diamonds.
Ashley, I cut to one card.
Yep.
You said the 8 of diamonds?
I did.
Look at this.
Bam! Eight of diamonds. There it is.
TKO, baby! No. Ding, ding! I'm inside of the head. Here we go. Yes, you've been abracadammed. Cool. I tell you, here's something. I got to show you. This is really dumb. This is super dumb. Okay. Listeners can't see this. You can only hear this. I tell you what, you know how magicians do like balloon animals? Well, not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But I only know one balloon animal. You want to see it? I'll show you. This is cool. Hold on. Give me just a second. One balloon animal. You ready?
Ready.
It's a bird. See?
That's my my favorite balloon animal.
Your favorite balloon animal. There we go. You are welcome. You are welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this because something else that we always do on the Abracadam podcast is now we know you have had two professional fights, okay? Miss 2-0, okay? Mm-hmm. Do we have a hell gig story with your professional fights?
We do. So this most recent fight, which was last Friday, you know, it went the distance. It went all four rounds, which is fine. And, you know, fight's over and, you know, we get to my corner taking the gloves off. And even my coach is like, all right, you know, congratulations on another win. You know, okay, cool. Get to the middle of the ring and the announcer's announcing and he's saying the judges' scores and he announces the other corner, my opponent. And I was like, okay, you know, like we'll take this loss in stride and we'll work from it. So I leave the ring. The crowd is booing. The crowd is going, you know, as soon as – now, I left the ring, and I went outside. I needed to kind of, you know, get myself together and calm down a little bit. But, you know, my friends are telling me, they're like, as soon as the announcer announced the winner, the judge jumped up, ran to the other scorekeeper and was like, that's not my score. You announced it the wrong way. So the announcer got back in the ring and, you know, I'm outside and because I had a few coaches there, my one coach comes running to me and I'm like, what's going on? Because I'm not a part of this situation right now. Grabs me by my arm and he's like, come on back out. He's like, you won. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, you know, thanks coach. I appreciate it. You know, appreciate it. And he, you know, I get out there and the announcer's in the ring. And I hear him announcing my name and I'm kind of like, what's going on? And you know, he announced the wrong corner. And so the crowd's just going nuts and my coach is lifting me up. So So it was kind of a little bit like, you know, heartbreaking at first. I was like, all right, you know, fine. Like I said, losing is just part of the game. You have to be humble enough to take it. But we didn't lose. And I watched the video afterwards, the fight video. And I was like, yeah, there was no way. Yeah.
How awkward.
Definitely a winning fight.
Gosh, how awkward. Imagine. Yeah. So the person you were fighting, she must have thought, oh my God, this was a miracle. Yeah. I can't believe.
she was mad. She was mad. It, understandably so, you know, if you're announced the winner, but you know, I think we can kind of both admit that when she goes back and watches the fight, she can, you know, see.
You were probably thinking though, when they made the wrong announcement, you're probably thinking, what the hell are they smoking?
Kind of, you know, in a way I was like, because in my mind, you know, like I said, I am a very, very hard on myself and it's boxing just like swimming. You're going to get hit, you know, you can't swim and not get wet. You know, it's boxing, you're going to get hit. So when I'm in there and I get hit, I'm always so critical of like, oh man, I just lost the round, you know, like hit once. I'm like, oh, fight's over, you know? But watching the video, I'm like, okay, she caught me maybe, you know, a couple times, but it was very clear on who the winner was.
Gotcha. Wow. That's crazy. That is so crazy. Man. Now,
yeah.
Do you do anything like before your fights? Cause I mean, I even say this for shows, you know, there's good nerves and there's bad nerves. And I get the good nerves these days, you know, I can't wait to get out there and get it kind of good nerves. How do you keep your nerves in check before a fight?
I'm a calm kind of fighter, calm kind of person. You know, even when I do my little walkout, I don't, you know, go crazy. I actually didn't even have walkout music this fight. I was just, you know, straight down to business. So, you know, I do kind of get the nerves inside. You know, pre-fight that day, that morning, you know, I'm very, very anxious to just let's do this. So I'm constantly, I don't want to say pacing, but, you know, even my coaches will kind of yell at me and be like, sit down, rest your legs, sit down, rest your legs, you know, but you know, to kind of help with that, I think just, you know, listening to music and just, you know, kind of like I'm a very, like, I visualize and just kind of mental prep, you know, what I'm going to do and just kind of go over like different combinations, what we've worked on. So yeah, that's just kind of how I relax.
Now, is it true that it's a general rule that every boxer has the Rocky IV soundtrack somewhere downloaded? Not Rocky. We know Eye of the Tiger, Rocky III, but Rocky IV.
Right. You know,
for Apollo's life. So
I guess I'm a little bit different in that way. I don't have that downloaded. You know, my playlist is very, very, very all over the place. You know, I can't say I listen to one specific genre or specific songs. You know, I've got some songs that are like, you know, like, yeah, like amped up and I'm ready to go. And then there's some songs that are just like slow and, you know, like Adele. I'm like, I love it. Like, or
oh, you got some Adele playing before you go.
Yeah.
On. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of, I love variety and it kind of each different genre, each different song pulls the different parts I think that I need when I'm in the ring. You know, I've got some rock songs that I'm like, oh, like I'm just ready to kill somebody. And then I've got, you know, the Adele songs where it's like, you know, fight mean, but not mad, like calm, poker face.
I ain't gonna lie. So. I got some Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J. I got some
Nothing
Rocky
wrong
IV,
with that.
You know. I got that. I put it in when I go for my little runs. Well, this has been a blast. I have so enjoyed this. Really, I have. Let me ask you this. What advice would you give to especially any little girl maybe who wants to be a boxer or just anybody in general maybe wanting to get into boxing? Any advice you'd like to offer?
Stay consistent. You know, there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days. And you can't let the bad days kind of control, you know, what you do from there. You know, it's going to happen. And also, don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. If it's something that you want, do it.
That is perfect advice. I agree with you. Ashley, where can the listeners find you if they want to learn more about you and follow you through your boxing career?
So I'm both on Facebook and Instagram. So Facebook, just my name, Ashley Sicenti, real easy. and then on Instagram, Dime Diva 27. So Dime, like my gym, but it's spelled D-Y-M-E, Diva 27.
Okay, awesome. Well, Ashley Sicenti, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast. This has been fun and you are very interesting and I cannot wait to catch you on your next fight.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I had so much fun. Thank you.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ashley Sicenti. She is a fun conversation and she is a fantastic boxer. If you guys ever get a chance, be sure to get out and check out one of her fights. You can give her a follow at Dime Diva. That's D-Y-M-E on Instagram. I know she posts a lot of her upcoming fights coming up. So if you get the chance, definitely get out and see this lady do her stuff. She's a great boxer. Also, if you have not done so yet, be sure to follow and subscribe to the Abracadam podcast on whatever platform it is that you listen to podcasts. Tell your friends, let them know about us. And also, if you get the time, give us a review. I love hearing your feedback about the podcast. And if you say something about the podcast, I will say something about you on the episodes. I promise. Well, like always, abracadamits. Thank you for listening.